I walked through the woods with Carrie O'Brien, a local television news reporter who for the past 3 years has been covering the case involving my clients. I wear a dark suit and hold a leather binder. I squat, and twigs snap under my dress shoes. I rub my palm on the ground and think about the man I'm representing. On April 25th, 1998, Alan Gibson, a white police officer in a small Virginia town, entered these woods behind an apartment complex and surprised Terrence Richardson, 28, and Ferron Claiborne, 23, in the middle of a drug deal. The officer drew his gun. The two young men wrestled with him, and the gun went off, shooting Gibson in the stomach. Terrence and Ferron fled the scene. Shortly after, a state trooper discovered Gibson on the ground, bleeding, severely wounded. In his weakened condition, the officer managed to describe the drug deal and his attackers. Two black men, one with a ponytail, the other with dreadlocks. Later that afternoon, Gibson died in the hospital. On a tip from a witness, police picked up Terrence and Ferron and charged them with the murder of Alan Gibson. Open and shut. End of story. Except not one word I just told you is true. Terrence and Ferron were nowhere near these woods at the time of Gibson's shooting. Police picked them up in separate locations on opposite sides of town. Neither had a criminal record. Neither had ever sold drugs. Investigators found no trace of their fingerprints, hair, or DNA at the crime scene, and neither wore a ponytail or dreads, which should have raised a question. In the course of approximately 30 minutes, how could they have murdered a police officer, removed all the evidence, fled the scene, gotten rid of the drugs, changed, disposed of their clothes, gone to separate locations, and cut their hair? Police rounded up and interrogated nearly every young black male in Waverly, Virginia, determined to find two men to charge for the killing of the officer. They had a crime. They needed two criminals. It is still unclear how my clients' names came up, but 2 days later, police arrested them for the murder of the police officer. Fearing the death penalty and strongly encouraged by their lawyers, Terrence and Ferron pleaded guilty to lesser charges. Terrence to involuntary manslaughter. Ferron to accessory after the fact to involuntary manslaughter, a misdemeanor. Despite being innocent, Terrence and Ferron made this choice because it was the only one offered them. Across America, in cities and in small towns, and especially in this small town, they saw that the police didn't dispense equal justice to blacks and whites. They had seen black people routinely railroaded, sent to prison, put to death for nothing. When the same system came for them, Terrence and Ferron pleaded guilty to lesser charges to save their lives. For members of the town's white establishment, it wasn't enough. They saw the punishment as a slap on the wrist. They wanted more. They wanted Terrence and Ferron's heads. Because Gibson's shooting was linked to a drug deal, the FBI came in. The feds interviewed a parade of informants, making deals with several people in exchange for their testimony. A false portrait emerged of Terrence and Ferron as drug kingpins, even though neither had any history of drug dealing and police never found drugs in their possession or records of any large transactions or cash deposits. In 2001, a jury in federal court additionally found Terrence Richardson and Ferron Claiborne guilty of conspiracy to sell crack cocaine. In a rare legal action, the judge used their previous murder charge and guilty pleas as a cross-reference to enhance their drug sentence. The judge sentenced them to life in prison. 20 years later, Terrence and Faran sit in federal prison for a crime they didn't commit.